Good morning, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of the Playbook Radio Show. Sorry, not the Playbook Radio Show. Hash marks and hardwood. Man. But we're joined by WBDG alum Jackson White for today's Hash Marks and Hardwood. Jackson, thanks for joining us, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Good to be back on the airways.
Yeah, man. I'm all in last year doing Playbook. Last year, Jackson, we had a show called Playbook, and last semester, too, we had a show called Playbook. I don't know who it started to, but last year was Brody West and Jason Brown, Tyler Stout, who I know you've called a few games with, but let's stay on the track. Of course, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Nicholas. Nicholas, how are you doing?
Doing good. I mean, excited that it's a Friday. The weekend's coming up, so. Yeah.
It's what I told James Boyd last week is the benefit of doing this show is it's always on a Friday, always getting ready for the weekend. But Jackson, like we stated, you are a WBDG alum. You know the in and outs here. You've been back a couple of times to call games this year. What has, I guess, obviously is a very vague question, but your experience this year with calling the games and kind of just seeing the, I know you were more, did you do a football game?
Yeah, I called, I believe, 3 or 4 football games this year.
So, a couple of football games, obviously a couple of basketball games. Kind of just what, from you notice, what do you think has changed the most when you were here as a student from calling these games to now seeing these Ben Davis sports teams now as a senior in college, correct?
Yeah, I'm a senior at Ball State, so definitely to answer your question, the teams are a little bit different. Back when I was here as a senior in high school and all that, Ben Davis, at least basketball, that's the year before they went undefeated and won the state title. So that was like the pre-year to that. So I think they went to semi-state or the end of regionals and lost. When I was a senior, obviously the boys basketball team is doing really good this year. Hopefully they can start to figure it out once playoff time comes. And the football team, obviously this year had a down year. Definitely not what you wanted to see from them. And then my senior year, they went to semi-state and lost to Center Grove. So obviously that was 4 years ago. But definitely two different types of teams. But it's really cool just to see the different styles as the years go on, how the teams look different.
Yeah, and it's I can only imagine from your perspective, maybe you were here to help out, call a game your sophomore year of college. Now you're back senior, you're like, oh, I remember that player. He was a freshman when I thought he would have really good potential. So is there anyone that you can specifically remember off the top of your head or any instances of that where you're like, oh, I remember that guy from a couple of years ago. He's now a senior starting or whatever the case may be.
Kind of from when I've called games really every year since I graduated out of high school. So I've came back and at least called one game every single year since then. But not really. The roster change has changed a lot. And I do try to keep up with it as much as I can, but I probably could keep up with it a little more. So there's not really a player that off the top of my mind that definitely brings that. But I have seen a lot of growth from some players, at least when I was here, from when they, let's say they were a sophomore, then to a senior, whenever, let's say I was a sophomore in college, especially with the basketball team. A lot of those guys I kind of grew up with. So it was kind of cool to see them kind of grow and become better players.
When we, You still, obviously, we mentioned you're calling games. You have a game in a couple of weeks, Ben Davis versus Attucks. That should be an interesting game. It should be fun, though. I hope you're ready for the call for that. But, post-WBDG, you mentioned graduating in 2022. What has kind of just the experience been like in you for college from a radio broadcasting perspective, trying to get on air? I know you have your own Instagram media what do they call it? Account. Sorry. Yeah, that you have your own media Instagram account as well. What's just been kind of your experience post WBDG? And if you had words to, maybe myself or someone else listening right now, what to do after they graduate high school here, because I'm a senior myself, what would kind of your advice be to someone?
Well, at least for me and my experiences, after I graduated as a senior in 2022, like you said, I ended up going to Ball State. And then Ball State, the radio program isn't really the same as it is here, so I decided to get into news. So for the past 4 years, I have been a news anchor and reporter for Ball State's news station, NewsLink Indiana. I spent 2 years as a sports director for that program, I was the morning sports director for their Friday morning show. Like just like this, we would usually have a show at 9 in the morning at Ball State in the mornings. And then also being an anchor and reporter there, so I've made news packages. I've been able to do a lot of stuff like that, and also being able to come back here and call games. But my advice would be just to go somewhere that makes you happy. Tour a lot of colleges, look at a lot of places that are going to be interesting to you. Because one thing, I didn't look at too many schools when I graduated. And even though I am happy at Ball State, I do think it would have been nice to look at a lot of other options. So my advice would just be keep your options open and do what's best for you.
Spread that opportunity. And I think a lot of it, too, with colleges, where I'm weighing right now, it's either Indiana State or Ball State. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it, too, the two things that come down to me is opportunity is – it's really what I very higher either opportunity or the campus I want to live on, per se, the living perspective, which campus I think will be nicer. That being said, let's get into some sports stuff. Talk about your we've talked about you and kind of you been able to introduce yourself. Don't know if I mentioned it, but thank you for joining us in person, because
of course
I DM'd you and I was like, hey, I know if you still want to call in, you can. You're like, oh no, I'll be in town. So
yeah,
thank you for joining us.
I had to be in town for a family thing yesterday, so I'm like, I might as well come in studio. It's good to be back in studio and see all you guys live, so it's cool.
Yeah, where are you at? How far of a drive is this for you, the studio?
From my house?
Yeah, directly. I don't give out your address.
Obviously. It's about an 8-minute drive. I grew up in the Ben Davis system. I went to Ben Davis for high school and everything like that, so it's not really that bad of a drive at all.
Gotcha. Awesome. Yeah, it's probably only about 15-10 minute drive for me as well. But let's talk about some sports, Jackson. And
sweet.
Very, you know, we talked about it a little last week episode, but I know you're a Pacers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the big trade that happened. Benedict Mathurin and Isaiah Jackson, a 2029 first round pick in this year's first round pick, 5 through 9, unprotected.
Yep.
And then we get back in return Kobe Brown. Made his Pacers debut the other day against, let me find it, the New York Knicks. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, the Brooklyn Nets as well. Was that yesterday? No, maybe. I don't know. I'm getting my days mixed up. Wednesday. So Tuesday was the Knicks. Wednesday was the Nets, both of the New York Brooklyn teams. Your thoughts on this trade? You give away a guy in Benedict Mathurin who is a huge role for you off the bench. But you get a guy like Ivica Zubac who gives you that real defensive presence that you feel like you've really been missing the last couple of years.
I personally, even though a lot of people don't like the trade, I love it. I think Zubac gives you an automatic upgrade at center. I think he will be the best center that Tyrese Haliburton has ever played with. I do think he is a marginal upgrade over Miles Turner. One thing with Zubac is he's a really excellent pick-and-roll player on offense, and that's something Tyrese Haliburton plays really well with. And yes, people say that the Pacers won't be able to play a five-out style offense as they did with Miles Turner. People forget that Obi Toppin will be back next season. He can play that five if they want to go stretch and play that. But looking at it, like you mentioned, Benedict Mathurin, a phenomenal player, really good player. He had two really good games in the finals this past season. He's a guy who can give you 25 on any given night, but he has sometimes where he's inconsistent, and that's something that can hurt you. Also, his contract year. You're going to have to pay him a lot of money, and I don't think the Pacers can pay a guy a lot of money in a position that they have a lot of. They have Aaron Nesmith. They have Johnny Furphy, other guys that can play the position. Obviously, those guys aren't as good as Benedict Mathurin, but I think Aaron Nesmith fits the system better than Mathurin. That's why he's been favored over Mathurin in the starting lineup. At the starting three. So I really like the trade from that standpoint. And also, it gives you a chance still to be in the lottery. Obviously, the Pacers, they just got fined a couple days ago, $100,000 for tanking, I guess, because they sat out.
Marks, we'll add.
Whatever. Siakam's seventh in minutes played in the NBA, so I don't think it's tanking, if you ask me. But I don't know. I think you still get to play. I think there's really four elite players in this draft class. So I think if you get a top four pick, that's exactly what you want. And I think Zubac is better than 5-9. And I think Zubac, I favor him over any of those guys in 5-9. So I like it.
I'm curious, who do you think that four superstar is? Because you have Darren Peterson, AJ DeBanta, Cameron Boozer. Who do you think fits the mold, or maybe any of those guys
that
Wilson I mentioned?
The Wilson kid. I think Caleb Wilson is the fourth best player in the draft.
That's fair, and that's what I was saying last week too about this trade. This is a bit of an all-in trade, like, or sorry, this is a bit of a like a draft that you have to hit on. Either you're gonna get 1 through 4, like you mentioned, and get that superstar, or you're gonna get 5 through 9, get disappointed. But if you have anything, which would be very unlikely at this point, especially considering where the Pacers' record is at, if you have anything past 9, I think you just trade the first round draft pick at that point.
Right, and you're getting a guy in Zubac who can give you, on any given night, 15-10, a really good shot blocker, can get a few steals. And just the thing with Zubac, a lot of people aren't taking into consideration, his contract is a very cheap contract for what he can do. Miles Turner for the Bucks right now, I believe, is getting 30 a year. And Zubac, I believe he's making 19, 20, and 21 for the next three or something like that.
Zubac, and I saw something on Twitter the other day that said Zubac and Jay Huff are making less money combined than Miles Turner's Milwaukee Buck contract is.
And even though I am a massive Miles Turner fan, I have 2 Miles Turner jerseys at my house. Like, that was my guy ever since he was drafted in 2015. But I think if Zubac was on the Pacers in this finals run, I think the Pacers have a championship. And that's my feelings on it.
I do, too. And the one thing we do mention with the Zubac trade is the only thing he really doesn't offer you that Miles Turner did offer you, you mentioned it, is the spacing.
Mm-hmm.
Zubac, unfortunately, unlike Miles Turner, he can't pull a top of the key 3. Maybe if he's wide open, we'll give him a shot, but he's not like a Miles Turner that can bank in a corner three in the NBA Finals. So that is really the only downside about Zubac, is you don't get your stretch 5 anymore like you had with Miles Turner. But not to mention, you still keep a guy in Jay Huff who is that stretch 5 off the bench if you need it, or like you mentioned, a guy like Obi Toppin who had a phenomenal finals, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the thing. Obviously, you have Jay Huff coming off the bench. And if you look at it statistically, per 36, Jay Huff and Miles Turner are kind of familiar at statistical stats. Jay Huff, I believe he's leading the league in blocks, by the way, which is kind of crazy to think
about. Yeah, you wouldn't think a Jay Huff leads.
Right?
pardon me. You wouldn't think Jay Huff leads the league in blocks. So.
And one thing about Jay Huff is he is one of the worst rebounders I have seen as a center. I mean, I like Jay Huff. His reverse slam always gets me excited, but he can't grab rebounds. That's something that Zubac can do, and that's just the difference. I think I'd rather have a guy who can get you 12 rebounds a night and maybe not hit a corner three than a guy who can get 2 corner threes but only get 3 rebounds.
Yeah, fair. And, you know, we talk about how much are you watching Pacers basketball now in a, what's heavy quotation marking, a tank year?
I probably watch more Pacers basketball than a lot of people, but in all reality, I'm not watching every game. Like, I didn't watch the game versus the Nets. I watched the end of the game versus the Knicks because I saw it was close. But I just, I as someone who normally could watch 80 to 82 games in a given season, I just am not that interested in this year. I know there's no point to watch because the Pacers have no chance to win.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, too, is, like you mentioned, when the games are close, you want to tune in and stuff. Mm-hmm. And personally, you know, I have that package wherever you can go on the FanDuel Sports Network and watch any game you want or whatever for your local channels. And when it comes to the Pacers, it just reminds me of, you know, last year you're like, oh, it's Pacers game day, let's go. Now this year, you're not like going out of your way to watch a Pacers game. If there is, you know, literally nothing on, you know, you're at home, but like, it's no longer like I'm at an event and I'm going to sneak in watching the Pacers game on my phone or something. And that also has a lot to do with the day that we're in with the internet and stuff. You could get caught up in a game in 5 minutes on the internet if you wanted to, so.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree there. Like, you could look at highlights for 2 minutes and completely understand how the game went.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just, I don't know, as someone who likes to watch sports, yeah, if there's nothing on and the Pacers play at 8 o'clock, I'll turn on the game. But if there's a better NBA game on or a really good college basketball game on or something like that, I'm definitely probably going to watch that over a Pacers team that's probably not going to win 20 games this year.
Yeah, that's fair. And I do want your opinion. You know, you mentioned better NBA games, but unfortunately, it kind of seems like all the better NBA games are well past at least my bedtime at like 10, 10:30. I mean, what are your opinion on the start times now? And I get a lot of it is because it's on the West Coast. Of course, Lakers versus Knicks in L.A. is going to be a weird start time because they're minus 3 hours behind. But do you think the start time should be adjusted even on the West Coast? Because I don't know if it's hurting the ratings at all for the people on the East Coast or people are staying up.
I definitely can see that, especially on a weekday. Like a Wednesday night game that starts at, it says it starts at 10:30, but in all reality, it doesn't start till 10:40. That I can see definitely hurting the ratings for sure. I like how they start a game, let's say at 7, and then the second game starts at 9:30. That's, to me, the perfect schedule because that still gives you time to watch the game at 9:30. It goes to 11. You can go to bed at 11. But I do think those later games, unless I'm staying up, sometimes it's cool to be, if you stay up later and there's a game on at 12:30, it is kind of cool to look at. But I definitely would agree that sometimes that can hurt the ratings.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I completely agree with your opinion. Sometimes you're just like not be able to fall asleep and it's like 11:45 and you realize there's still a game on with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, but let's kind of transition away from basketball here. Talk about the big game that happened last Sunday. Super Bowl 60, the Seattle Seahawks were successful in beating the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, that was an interesting Super Bowl, to say the least. Definitely not my favorite Super Bowl of all time.
Yeah.
I personally was not too big on the New England Patriots all season long. I think they had kind of a pancake schedule, you could say.
Do you feel like a little bit, is that your inner Colts speaking to you as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm a diehard Colts fan, and I root against the Patriots any opportunity I can get. I'm really big on Drake May. I like Mike Vrabel as a coach. But they didn't really face, obviously they faced a really good defense in Houston in the divisional round. And obviously Denver's defense is really good as well. But it doesn't seem like they really faced an elite offense until the Super Bowl. And Seattle really had them from the jump, at least to me. And Seattle just was the better team. I was big on Seattle this year. I really like Sam Darnold. His comeback story is really cool. But New England, in the regular season, Drake May only threw 5 touchdowns versus, like, winning teams. 5 touchdowns or something like that, a very low statistic. And it's just like, I mean, they just had a really bad schedule.
Yeah, and we even mentioned their playoff run, too, wasn't necessarily the hardest. You know, you go into the game against the Texans. It's a very, I don't want to say unfair because weather is weather, but we know that was a very snowy game, caused a lot of miscues on both ends. It's a day where C.J. Stroud throws 4 interceptions, something that, honestly, if he doesn't do, I think the Texans win that ball game.
I agree.
Then we go to the AFC Championship where you face a Bo Nix-less Denver Broncos with Jarrett Stidham, who, besides, like, the first half, couldn't...
Not a bad backup, but...
Not an AFC Championship.
Not who you'd want to start, yeah.
Starting quarterback. Then, you know, we make it to the Super Bowl, and it seems like every play, Drake May is looking up, and there's a Seattle Seahawk rusher in his face.
Well, I think Will Campbell, he got his hand to give it to him in that Super Bowl there. That was definitely his welcome to the NFL moment, to say the least, in the Super Bowl.
Nothing like a welcome to the NFL moment in the Super Bowl.
Right. He got destroyed almost on every down.
And have you seen the clip of Will Campbell saying something like, if a receiver drops a pass or something, it's okay, but if a lineman gives up a sack, they have to go work at Amazon.
I saw that, and then everyone was posting Will Campbell in an Amazon outfit because he allowed like 3 sacks in the Super Bowl or something like that.
It was bad. No pun intended here. I think the Seahawks did get about 6 or 7 sacks that day, maybe even 8. So
they destroyed him. They deserved it. That was really the story of the NFC, Sam Darnold coming out. And they've been really, at the end of the season, they were the best team.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at that side too, I don't know if there's anyone that could have even challenged the Seahawks besides
the Rams.
The Rams. And maybe just because of the way their season was going, the Chicago Bears. But besides that, the 49ers were never going to beat them. The Eagles were never going to beat them. Who's the last NFC team? Oh, the, pa- the Packers, as unhealthy as they were never going to beat the
If they were fully healthy, it might be a little different. But I really think it came down to the Seahawks versus the Rams. I think that was the two elites in the NFC. And it just kind of – I wish they would have been able to play.
Talk about a guy in Matt Stafford, man. I think wins the second MVP almost
Well, his first MVP. He's never won
MVP. Yeah, first MVP. Yep. Sorry, I was thinking of if he would have won the Super Bowl, it would have been a second Super Bowl. Wins his first MVP – with LA, I think we're definitely heading to a Matt Stafford's had a better career now with the Rams than he did the Lions. If we're looking solely based off of awards, you got a ring, you have an MVP. Really, what all did you do in Detroit besides stack up passing yards?
I mean, he didn't really do much. I think they only made the playoffs with him, what, two or three times?
Yeah, I believe three.
He's already done that more with the Rams. He now has a Super Bowl under his belt with the Rams. He now has an MVP. It's obviously he's played much longer for the Rams. I mean, excuse me, for the Lions. But whenever he retires in 10 years, you're only going to see pictures of him in a Rams jersey. And he's going to be known as a Ram just for the strict fact that he's won 10 times more in LA than he did in Detroit.
Yeah, and it's you could have a 15-2 season in Detroit and win a Super Bowl, and that kind of cancels everything out. Obviously, I know it wasn't the full schedule back in the day when Matt Stafford was playing that they do now. Yeah, I don't see any other team. That was a close one, too. It was a good game. Puka Nacua, Jackson Smith and Jigba, he is a talent. I tell you what, it was really up until about, I want to say, week 9, week 10, it was really between him and Jonathan Taylor for the Offensive Player of the Year award. Obviously, we all unfortunately know what ended up happening. Let's talk about it, Jackson. Have you ever seen a worse collapse in person than the Indianapolis Colts this season?
Yeah, I think the Colts had a worse collapse a couple of years ago, the Carson Wentz year.
That's fair.
That they just completely laid down for the last two games of the year and missed the playoffs. But this Colts collapse, As someone who is a diehard Colts fan, I don't think this Colts collapse is all on them. It's all on them as a team. They lost their starting quarterback. And before he tore his Achilles, he had a broken leg.
I'm glad you're elaborating, because I think you got a few ears of people listening to WBDG 90.9 turning when you say that it's not on them. So I'm curious who you do think it is on, but I'll let you finish.
I just think if you're a team and as your starting quarterback goes down with an injury, you're not going to play the same. And I think the Colts were in a kind of a situation where the back half of their schedule was extremely tough. Even if they had a fully healthy team, it would have been hard. I do think they do get in if Daniel Jones never gets hurt with the fibula, not the Achilles. But obviously, once he goes down, Jones misses the rest of the year. They try a crazy attempt to bring back Rivers. Even though Rivers didn't play bad, he didn't look like a 44-year-old. He didn't look like a spring chicken either. And that really eliminated one thing with Phillip Rivers, is he really couldn't play under center because he didn't have no legs under him. And then that really hurt Jonathan Taylor. And once Jonathan Taylor got slowed down some, it kind of forced the Colts to be, their offense went stale. And they really couldn't do much. And it was just kind of a disaster season from that point.
That's one of the benefits of having a guy like Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson out there is Daniel Jones, obviously not the fastest, but we know Anthony Richardson is known as a scrambler. You have to account for multiple people in those sort of packages. And like you mentioned, when you have a guy like Phillip Rivers compared to an Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones, you don't have to worry about him pulling and taking off on some sort of option play, where you might have to account for both and whatever the case may be. But
and even just the fact of the play action pass, because the play action is something the Colts ran a lot with Daniel Jones, because you were able to. The teams were so scared of Jonathan Taylor. Phillip Rivers didn't really take any snaps under center. It was all shotgun stuff from him because he really couldn't move. And whenever you take away that play action threat, as we saw at the back half of this regular season, it really hurts the offense a lot. And that happened the back half of the year for the Colts. I do think fully, and I mean this fully, if the Colts do not make the playoffs next season, I know we've been saying this literally since I was here at school here, that they need to clean house completely. That means new GM and everything. I think it's win or nothing next year. One thing about the Colts, though, their schedule is going to be easier than it was this year. It's the fourth easiest schedule in the league, according to last year's records. And so I do think that's something that's going to help them. The real question is Daniel Jones going to be your day one starter? And I think the whole season is going to be, is Daniel Jones going to be able to be healthy? Because I don't think a week five Daniel Jones coming back from an Achilles, if he's not 100% at the start of the season, I don't think he's going to really figure it out until halfway through. And who knows what your record is. So
yeah,
that's kind of your question.
Let's play a little game. You kind of set me up, which I appreciate. So let's play a little game, little word association game. I'm going to play, I don't know if that's the correct term for this, but I'm going to mention a team, and you tell me who their starting quarterback is going to be at the beginning of the first game of the 2026-2027 season.
Okay.
The starting quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders will be...
Fernando Mendoza.
The starting quarterback for the New York Jets will be...
Derek Carr.
Wow.
That's what I've been reading. Derek Carr is interested in coming out of retirement, and he could go to the Jets.
Interesting. Starting quarterback of Miami Dolphins will be...
Tua Tagovailoa.
Starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns will be...
That's a question. I'll go Shadur.
All right. Starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals will be...
Who? That is the question of the day.
They're one of the more wild card teams. Don't know what they
bench. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm going to say Kyler Murray just because I don't know if they could get off his contract.
They bench Kyler. Then they say Kyler's injured, so they didn't bench him. But then again, they come back a couple weeks later and say, no, he's benched for the rest of the season. But they're saying he had some leg injury. They're one of the more complex teams in the NFL right now. The starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts will be...
Daniel Jones.
Fair enough. The starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints will be...
What's that rookie's name? He'll be the...
Tyler Shough.
Yeah, he'll be the starter next year.
However you pronounce his name. And I think that's... Oh, sorry, one more for you. The starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers will be...
Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you bring in Mike McCarthy and not bring back Aaron Rodgers for another year.
Fair enough. I guess one more. I don't know if he'll be healthy or not. Starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs will be...
Ooh, I don't think Mahomes is going to play week one. Give me Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew. They said he didn't towards ACL either, so that's good. Mm-hmm. Former Colt right there, but a couple of a team for you. I'm very intrigued about that Derek Carr one.
Yeah, I saw a few reports on Twitter or X, as they call it now, this week. And it shows that Derek Carr does have a legitimate interest to come out of retirement. And the Jets would be open to bringing him to be in their starter for this coming year. The Jets, that's just such a franchise. Like, it's just always something with that team. And, I mean, if they do bring in Derek Carr, I don't think it gives them any chance to win. I think he's better than Justin Fields.
I don't think they'll have a 3-14 season, but I think they'll have a 5-12 season.
I'd see him getting about 5 wins, because that team is a lot more help than just quarterback.
Yeah. Does Philip Rivers coach or play next season in the NFL?
He definitely does not play next year. I wish he played Week 18 versus Jacksonville. To get a final hurrah. He only needed like 100 yards, too, to pass Big Ben or something on the all-time list, so I wish he would have been able to get that. But he does definitely not play next year. I think he will remain the head coach of the high school he's coaching at because his son is a senior. So his son is about to graduate and go on to college, so I definitely think he'll coach for his son's senior year. And then I do eventually see him getting a job in the NFL, hopefully as an OC, probably eventually as a head coach.
Let's talk about quarterbacks and Indianapolis Colts, and we've been staying on the train. Against Houston, man, did Riley Leonard look good?
He did. He didn't look bad. Well, you mean the last game of the year?
Yeah.
Jacksonville.
Whoever that was against.
He didn't look bad. No, he definitely looked better than I thought he would. Whenever he came in, it was against Houston. He played against Jacksonville when Jones got hurt.
Yep, that's right.
he looked bad versus Jacksonville, but that was he was thrown into the being the starter in the middle of that game, but he didn't look bad. As I'm not that big on Riley Leonard because I just there's a few things about him. There's a reason he went so late in the draft. Mm-hmm. But he looked better than I thought he would. And I really like his escape ability because he has that pocket awareness. The thing with him is his arm strength isn't the best, so he can't really force it downfield too much. But he had some good long throws in that game. So if Daniel Jones is not ready week one, I would not be mad at Riley Leonard being my week one quarterback.
Where – I'll ask you this. Who lands AR?
That's the question.
Does he start? Do we see Anthony Richardson start for the Arizona Cardinals week one?
I definitely could see that.
Do you give up on Anthony Richardson this early? This is a guy who, yes, he's been in the league for 3 years, but what? He's still only, you might have to help me out here, but he's still, what, 22, 23?
23,
he's insanely young still. I mean, he's drafted at 21 years of age. So
I as someone who liked Anthony Richardson's ability of being a 6'5 quarterback who can run, throw the ball farther than you, run faster than you, and is stronger than you. I really like that. But if I'm the Colts, I'm 100% giving up on him. I don't want him on the roster next year. This was the perfect opportunity for him once Jones got hurt to come in and play, and he got hurt before Jones even got hurt. And now he can't even 100% see. Who knows if that 100% comes back? I don't know. If I'd put money on it, I think Anthony Richardson's career in all reality is I don't ever see him being a starting quarterback in this league. If he is going to become one again, I like him going to the Rams and being their backup. I think him being in the McVay offense and being a backup would be really good for him. I mean, if he could somehow turn it around and be the guy here, I'd love it. But I have not seen anything from him to prove that he can be that guy, and his leadership stuff is a little iffy with me. And cool. Daniel Jones isn't even technically contracted for next year, and the Colts are posting him everywhere. So I think the Colts at least have fully given up on him.
A lot of it for me is you have to have a reliable guy at your quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Richardson has been injured every single season he's been in the NFL. He goes out his rookie season with his shoulder injury. He's out for a couple of weeks, his second season, with a couple of different injuries where Joe Flacco started. And then obviously he gets that audible injury that keeps him out from week 7, I believe, to the rest of the season, which was really just an unfortunate freak accident too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about a guy with a lot of injuries as well and more freak accidents. Does Tre'Davious Ward retire?
That's a question. I think for his best personal interest, I think he should. 3 concussions in 1 year is crazy. As a fan and knowing that he can be an all-pro corner and me wanting my team to have 2 all-pro corners, selfishly, I'd like him to still play. But for his health reasons, I mean, if I was an NFL player and I got 3 concussions in 1 year and I've already done what he's done, I'd probably call it quits.
Yeah, and it's not like he's 25 or anything. Mm-hmm. He's on his later, and he's already started to go on his later. And Nicholas, you're shaking your head no. Why don't you think he retires?
I just think if he...
Do you think there's more left on the plate?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit more left for him. As long as he can stay healthy and not get injured this upcoming season.
And that's the thing, too. One more concussion, you start to not just retirement from the NFL, but, you know, like genuine, like
health issues,
everything, right? Yeah. Like your everyday activities, like your psych, like that's not going to be good. If one day Tre'Davious Ward is on his couch and gets up to go get something to eat and he starts feeling dizzy or whatever because of the previous concussions that he's had.
Yep.
I don't think he'll retire. All right. We have 2 minutes left, Jackson.
Okay.
And let's finish back on basketball and back to Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
We'll do what we kind of just did similar with the quarterback game. At the beginning of the 2026-2027 NBA season, Giannis Antetokounmpo will be a blank and why? Either a Buck, a Heat, a Knick, a Laker, etc.
He will be a Buck.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's a team out there that has what it takes to trade for him that would be willing to trade for him. I think if you trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, you have to give up something massive. And I think all the teams you just named, I don't think they could. I don't think the Bucks trade him to the Knicks because that's in their conference. Usually whenever you trade a star, you want them to trade him to the opposite side. The Lakers definitely don't have enough. The Warriors, even though everyone wants to see him go there, I don't think they have enough to trade for him.
I don't even know. What would a Warrior package even look like? You're not giving up Steph.
But like what? Bucks, Jimmy Butler? Like
the Bucks are not going to want Jimmy off of a torn ACL. You're not going to want a 38-year-old Draymond Green. Right. You already traded Jonathan Kuminga. Really, the only young asset, I would like the two, three young assets you have there, Moses Moody maybe?
And Pods.
And Pajemski.
And like that's not
and maybe Giannis. Like maybe Quentin Post has a little bit of trade value.
But
not enough to get Giannis.
Yeah.
So there's nothing. I think, and I agree that Giannis will be a Buck because I think if he was gonna land up anywhere that wasn't Milwaukee, I thought it would be this past offseason with San Antonio.
I agree. I think they had a really good package.
I thought the only thing that would have drifted Milwaukee to trade him would have been that second overall pick and a couple of other things that they eventually used to get Dylan Harper, because Dylan Harper would have been a great fit in this Bucks team.
I agree.
With that being said, the clock has hit 9:55, which means we have to get off air. A little bit of a later start time, but still, everyone, thank you for listening to Hash Marks and Hardwood. Jackson, thank you for joining us, man. WBDG alum.
Of course.
Jackson, for those of you that, for those of the listeners that don't know you, where can they find you at?
They can find me on Instagram at Jackson White Media. That's my media account. And then if they want to check me out, I'm one of the main anchors for Newslink Indiana up there at Ball State. That's live on Facebook and YouTube every night at 9 and all that. So I'm doing all that. And then obviously you can find me on my media account.
What are your plans after Ball State, Jackson?
That's the grand question of the day. I'm not too entirely sure where I'll end up.
Just whatever comes your way.
I will be definitely working somewhere in sports media, though.
God's plan, all right. Jackson, thank you for joining us, man. It's been a
thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
All right, and for those of you listening, Nicholas, anything to say to the people?
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Have a good weekend. For most people, 3-day week, 4-day weekend with the President's Day on Monday. Enjoy your sleeping in on Monday. So with that being said, thank you, everyone, for listening. Hashmarks and Hardwood. I'm Bryson Hill, joined by Jackson White, Nicholas Mountcastle, and have a wonderful day.
See ya.